In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's always kind of a surefire thing to begin a sermon with a story. And this morning I want to begin not only with a story, but a true story. And it's one that many of us are very familiar with. I'll read it just as written. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, taking this story, I just want to put it in the background for 1 second and revisit a couple of themes we've talked about during the past, really the past 6 months of preaching. One is a theme I come to a lot, and those of you who have spoken to me privately have heard me talk about it. And it's the dangers of allowing our emotions to drive our faith. And the reason that is dangerous is because if I wake up in the morning and I'm all on fire about being a Christian, then I'm going to do nice godly things during the day. And I'll probably plan to come to church on Sunday, and I will pray when I have time, and I will keep the fasts, etc. But then if I'm not so much on fire about being a Christian, then it's easy for me to say, I don't know. I'll go to church next week and I'll pray tomorrow. That's the problem with letting our emotions dictate our faith. And we all know that. We're supposed to do the right thing all the time. We're supposed to do the godly thing all the time, whether we are particularly excited or not about living as Christians. And then we've spoken rather recently with regard to emotions about how important emotions are when it comes to real learning. And we used our Faith and Fellowship group as an example, our small groups as an example of this. But very effective learning involves tying together our emotions and our mind, our heart and our mind. Because if I can emotionally connect with a theme, then it's much easier for me to retain what I'm learning and then also to apply it. And it doesn't really matter what area of education we're dealing in. Even in good math teachers, and I mentioned this when I preached about this, good math teachers can make people laugh and have them respond emotionally even to something as we might think as dry as math, and have it such that students will retain what they are learning. Emotions play an essential role in how we adopt the faith and live the faith. Now back to the story that we started with, this story that we heard in this morning's gospel, of course. Consider what must have been going through Joseph's heart. What were his emotions during this unbelievable encounter where he is told, first of all, that Mary has a child. He has God speaking to him in a dream. How did he feel? And it's not written down in the gospel, but you and I who have lived life, we know how he must have felt. Shocked, fearful, uncertain, and probably filled with some awe once he realized it was in fact a divine message that was being imparted to him in his dreams. But imagine waking up from a dream like that and what emotionally was going on with Joseph. And had he been a different kind of man, he could have reacted to those emotions in an entirely different way. But he was able to rise above the difficult emotions, the fear and the uncertainty and the shock. He was really actually not just to rise above them, but to transform them into accomplishing God's work. The awe, of course, helped him rise above the uncertainties and the fears that involved this rather startling news. And I would say even just becoming accustomed to the shock of hearing all this, prepared him for what was to follow with the horrible slaughter of the innocents by Herod. So these emotions Joseph was able to apply, if you will, to his life and continue to fulfill his divine calling as the betrothed of Mary. And I wanted to talk about emotions this Sunday before Christmas because I think if we're all honest with ourselves, Christmas time is a season really marked by emotions. Really, if you think about it, Christmas is drenched with emotions. And when it comes to how you and I deal with our emotions, well, we can avoid them, we can run from them. The fathers of the church tell us sometimes that's a good thing when we encounter emotions or passions, as we call those emotions that might lead us to sin. They tell us sometimes it's better just to block them off. It's better for your soul. But other times they tell us, no, embrace them. Even if your emotions are passions, something that might be leading you to sin, take them into your heart. Wrestle with them. Make sense of them. Learn to bring them by the grace of God under control. And so this morning, I thought as we considered the emotions surrounding Christmas, we might do just that, not ignore them, but acknowledge them. Bring them inside of us. Learn to apply them and transcend them as we struggle to live as Christians. The first emotion is something that I would describe as the Christmas spirit. And the Christmas spirit, we are familiar with it. It is this different way of living at this time of year where we acknowledge that there's more to life than the day-to-day grind, and we are filled with a little bit of hope and lightness. Our perspective on life changes, quite frankly, for the better. And that's a good thing. When people say there's something wrong with the Christmas spirit because we don't feel this way throughout the year, I say, I don't know. At least we feel this way sometime during the year. But that Christmas spirit reminds us of some very important things. Reminds us first that the Holy Spirit dwells within every human being. Every human being, whether he or she chooses to acknowledge it, every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, God's Holy Spirit is within us. That is why we talk so much about going within ourselves as we pray, looking inside of our hearts to encounter the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of us who are Christians, we know that the Holy Spirit is actually sealed upon us. We say that when we are confirmed into the church, the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So for us, we are a group of people who, if you will, we have been given the code, if you will, to unlock that spirit within us, to encounter the Holy Spirit, to let it fill up our lives. Now, to the person who is not a churchgoer, perhaps not a Christian, perhaps living an entirely secular life, but feels the Christmas spirit, I would say this. Bravo. You're being pointed in the right direction. There is more to this life than just what we see around us. There is a divine element to life. And in fact, every human being has a calling to reach for the divine. So embrace this Christmas spirit and then do something with it. And what does one do with that feeling of goodness and tenderness and mercy that appears at this time of year? Well, If we're smart, we run to the church, we run to the Lord, we learn how to take this longing for something more than what this life offers. Take this longing and do something holy with it, and that holy thing is commit ourselves to Christ. And for the Christian who, during this time of year, feels this extra special something, this Christmas spirit, if you will, that's just a reminder that God is always wanting us to open our hearts to Him and to know Him. St. Simeon, the new theologian, lived in the latter part of the 10th, early part of the 11th century. He wrote this: "Do not say it is impossible to receive the divine spirit. Do not say it is possible to be saved without the Holy Spirit. Do not say one can participate in the Holy Spirit without knowing it. Do not say God does not appear to men. Do not say men do not see the divine light. Do not say this is impossible in our present time. It is never impossible, my friends. It is certainly possible for anyone who wishes." So at Christmas time, if you are sitting here today and at any time you have felt this Christmas spirit, praise God. Know that the Holy Spirit is there for all of us to know and appreciate and to be guided by. A second Christmas emotion is nostalgia, even melancholy. And I will admit there are times at Christmas, during Christmas, that I have really just enjoyed sitting in a quiet living room, lighting the Christmas tree, and probably wallowing in a bit of my own melancholy. Christmas brings out that time, that brings out that sense in us. And I think that nostalgia and that melancholy comes from the recognition that time is passing, and it is. It's passing for all of us. We live in denial of it until, as will be the case today, we will church some children, one of whom has a mother that I've known since middle school, and we look and we say, yes, time is passing. And that nostalgia, I think, comes from a sense of regret. Very often at Christmas time, we'll look back on our lives and we'll say, I should have done that, might ought have done that, why didn't I do that? And the nostalgia comes from missing loved ones, and all of us know what that's like at Christmas time. And we recognize that Christmas dinner is never going to be the same because our loved ones are past. And just like the Christmas spirit, I would say with our nostalgia and melancholy, don't run from it, bring it into our hearts. But then remember that with that sense of passage of time, we are being called to remember that our job is to live in the right now, to experience God's kingdom in the right here and right now, because time is passing, so we might as well start experiencing the kingdom today. And our job as time continues to pass by us is to prepare for eternity. If we are filled with remorse or regret during this Christmas season, the answer is easy. Bring it into your heart and then repent. Christianity is the religion of second chances. That's why we have the sacrament of confession. That's why we offer Holy Communion for the remission of sins and life everlasting. So repent and live better. We can't change the past, but we can repent right now and then vow to live different lives right now and going forward. And when it comes to missing loved ones, this is the time then to remember to always pray for the repose of their souls. And even if we remember sometimes our loved ones with mixed emotions, that's okay. Forgive them. It's about time we forgave them anyway. And that way, when we pray for the repose of their souls, we really know why we're praying. We're praying because they were sinners, just like you and I are sinners. And then one last emotion to take a look at is this desire to give gifts to people. And yesterday I was out running some errands with Presby Theta, and I was not eavesdropping, but sometimes people speak very loudly, not quietly as I do. And they go, oh, we got to get this for this one, and this for this one, and this for this one. And you know, that's a tremendous emotion to be focused on what I need to get for someone that they would really appreciate, that might be unique, that might be something that would bring value to their lives. And that's especially an emotion that we should never run from, but instead incorporate into our hearts, because we should be living all of our lives asking ourselves the question, what does this person next to me need from me right now? What is the best thing I could do for that person? What is the best gift I could offer that person with regard to how I am listening, what I am saying, how I am acting? This, dear brothers and sisters, as we consider the spirit of gift-giving and the emotion of gift-giving, this idea of thinking about other people all of the time and earnestly wanting to do the right thing, the beautiful thing, the good thing for them, this is true generosity. Emotions are tricky, but it's really all about what we do with our emotions. Joseph, faced with this startling news, embraced his fear, embraced the awe, and he turned it into a trust in God. And that trust in God made it possible for the Christ to be born and for the infancy narrative of Jesus Christ to have been played out, to have been written in the gospel for us to share today, so that Jesus himself would grow into manhood and begin his salvific ministry. That all happened because Joseph wrestled with his emotions and used them for the good. Yes, there are times when it's necessary to bury our emotions a bit and deal with them later. But you know, truth of the matter is, we're much better served when we embrace our emotions and our feelings, when we make sense of them, when we apply them, when we allow them to transcend our lives and lead us closer to God. And at Christmas time, this means taking some very, very, very simple steps. During the season of gift giving, when you're filled with that desire to do something good for other people, then take that emotion and say, I'm going to apply that the entire year. I'm going to deliberately give other people what they need from me that is good and beautiful and transformative. And when it comes to nostalgia and melancholy, whenever it might attack us, that's okay. Just remind ourselves that emotion should instill within us a desire to live in God's kingdom now and to prepare for eternity, to repent and to live better, to pray for our loved ones, and yes, forgive them. And you know, when we have that last emotion, that emotion of this time of year, that life is more than what we see, that there's something special about life, that I feel a lighter step in my heart, that emotion that we call the Christmas spirit, well, the application of that is rather quite simple. Allow the Christmas spirit right here, right now, today, to open our hearts so that we can encounter the Holy Spirit.